Boomtown Richmond. We're live from Tidehead Way. It is a Boomer Wednesday, September 12th. We're here at Regency Mall. I'm Jeff. You should be Robin, right?
Yeah.
And Duran Chavis is with us, and your community engagement manager at Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden, but that's just what's probably on your business card.
That's exactly
There's
right.
so much else going on. I want to start this by, and there's a great article online, Boomer, that you can grab that really explains this in depth. But there was a farmer.
Yeah.
From Brunswick.
Yes.
Who asked you a question,
yeah.
and it sort of changed your life.
That's right.
So, what was the question and what'd you do?
The farmer asked me, you know, where does food come from?
Okay.
Right? It was a loaded question because I think it was more rhetorical.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, me, I was like 24, something like that at the time. And he was like, you know, I love that you're doing all these programs addressing health and wellness in the community. But why aren't you talking about where food comes from? And I was like, well, duh, because everybody knows you just go to the grocery store, you know.
Yeah. Well, if you drive down Broad here, there's every kind of grocery store imaginable.
Right.
And it's almost embarrassing.
Right.
But where does food come from?
So the hands that prepare our food are often overlooked. We never have an opportunity, well, we rarely have an opportunity to connect with, you know, the farmers that have dedicated their lives to producing nutrient-dense, healthy food for us. I was blessed at an early age to make connections and really develop strong relationships with these, you know, older men that were old enough to be my grandfather.
Mentors almost.
Yeah, mentors.
This guy was 70 and came down from Brunswick
yeah.
with all the stuff that he had grown.
Exactly. We started doing pop-up markets back in, you know, the, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And, what we were doing basically is we were serving as middlemen for farmers from rural areas. We were bringing in produce to areas that are called food deserts and to Churchill and Northside, Barton Heights.
What's a food desert?
Well, according to the USDA, a food desert is an area that doesn't have a grocery store within a mile or more of its residents. It's a loaded topic, you know, the definition is a little janky, you know, really in reality, what we're talking about is high poverty areas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
irrespective of it's rural or city, you know, when there's a lot of people in an area that don't have a lot of money going on.
They don't have cars to drive to a market.
Yeah. And so these corporate markets, they say, well, where's the money?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we'll put markets. Mm-hmm. And they're not really concerned about the fact that there are other areas that don't have access to food.
Exactly. And that contradiction is, you know, so apparent in a city like Richmond. It has one of the highest densities of areas described as food deserts in the country. You can go to an area like Carytown. There's like four grocery stores in walking distance of each other. But you can go to Churchill and there's none, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And it's one of those things that are in plain sight, but you really don't have, you know, an awareness of it until somebody points it out and says, hey, where is the grocery store in your neighborhood?
If you're driving through for whatever reason, you're probably not going to be shopping there. You know, think about it, but there are people that don't have access to food.
Right.
And this question sort of spurred you to think about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of like some people curse the darkness, the other people, they light a candle, and you'd be that guy.
Yeah, well, that's a great metaphor.
Thank you very much. I think Robert Kennedy said that.
Yeah, I'm a solutionary. You know, my role in community work, you know, I've been doing activism since I was like 18 years old, and I'm not one to complain. I'm like, well, if there's a problem, what can we do to, you know, mitigate it? And, the most obvious thing at the time was to just serve as a relationship manager for the farmer, connecting people in communities that didn't have access to healthy food to high density, high nutrient density.
Well, it's South Side, East End, and they're food deserts.
Yeah,
so how do
right.
we get food to there?
Mm-hmm.
And you developed a program working through Lewis Ginter.
Well, you know, actually, to be candid, like the way it happened is like when I was in my 20s, we started this pop-up farmers market. But working with the farmers, I'm sitting with a 75-year-old man every Saturday for like 6 hours selling vegetables.
Good times. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the conversations were, you know, wide and varied. But we had a great rapport, and he started telling me when to plant. You know, we talk about the importance of it. And honestly, I started feeling like a challenge to a degree. not in a, you know, hey, you should grow food, but in my own mind, I'm thinking like, if this man can come from Brunswick County every Saturday, why am I not growing anything? If if something happens to him, maybe he hurts his back, I don't know, whatever. How do we keep this program going? And so, you know, 2012, I started my first garden, under the city's Richmond Grows Gardens program.
We're talking to John Chavis, who's the community engagement manager at Lewis Ginter Botanical Gardens. We'll answer the question, why do we grow lawns and what about that and how do we deal with that and how do we make, your lawn, productive? And we'll do that in a couple of seconds. We have already linked, Duran's
article to our Facebook page,
Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And from there, we'll also get some links as to how we can reach you if people want to get involved. But we also play some music. So why don't we shake our hips, go back to 1966 with Slim Harpo. You know it from the Stones, but the original is still the greatest. Boomtown Richmond. Boomtown Richmond. Once upon a time, there was a cute little group called the Jackson Five, and they made wonderful music. It's Boomtown Richmond. I'm Jeff with Robin and Duran Chavis, and there's so much that we could talk about. But let's start with your title. It's Community Engagement Manager, Lewis Ginter, Danup Garden. You saw a need, and basically you're one of those people that says, okay, let's find a solution and deal with it. The need, food. Yeah. And taking responsibility for growing your own food, and you've got a ton of programs that you're working on.
Yep.
Let's talk about it.
So Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden, 30-year-old botanical garden in Henrico, has decided and has been deciding to be more deliberate in impacting the greater Richmond region through its area of expertise, which is plants.
Okay.
The organization's mission is connecting people through plants to improve community. So my role as community engagement manager is to connect to communities throughout the region and engage them in a conversation around how do you green your spaces? How do you green neighborhoods?
Now you can have flowers.
Yeah,
you can have flowers. Very nice. Yes. Beautiful, but hard to eat sometimes.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, there's room for both. So we do urban greening and we talk about the benefits of trees. We talk about the benefits of, shrubs and things like that. But we also talk about where food comes from. But at the end of the day, there's many issues that need to be addressed. So there's stormwater management issues. We're right in the throes of Hurricane Florence. So, you know, the more, plants that we have planted, the more trees we have planted, that mitigates flooding in our, community. You take a place like Scott's Addition that has no green space, right? So where does all that stormwater go?
Like green space is real estate dollars.
Exactly. So at the end of the day, there's a big conversation about that. But our work is really about meeting the people where they are. So if the community is asking for food gardens and things like that, then we're here to train you how to do a food garden. It's really not a paternalistic relationship. We come in and ask the question. We're listening first. How can we help? What's our role in this conversation? Do we need to provide technical expertise? Do you need plant material? You know, are you looking to build relationships? You know, what are the assets that are missing for you to actualize your capacity in this community? So the training does a lot of that. We have, the website has a suggested project functionality where people can actually input potential projects in their community. And right now we're focused on Southside.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing work in Manchester, Swansboro, and Blackwell to create green spaces in that particular area, which is an underserved area of the city. So we're in the middle of our training program, and we're identifying spaces that will be the practicum project for our Ginter Urban Gardener. So if those folks that are listening today, if you have any ideas, please check out the beautifulrva.org website and put your project in the queue so we can talk about what could possibly be a thing. I mean, we have some funding that we use. When we train the people, we don't just train them and toss them to the wolves. We train them and then we put a pot of money in the kitty to say, this is what you have to work with to develop a project. And, you know, it's really led by the community. So community members stepping to the plate saying that they have a desire, is what our parameters, you know, be.
What we need are people like you who say, you know, here's the problem. I want to be part of the solution. And what do I do? Well, you've already sort of provided the answers and the training and the instructions as to how to actually make that solution real. And the way to connect with Duran and all of these wonderful ideas is basically going to beautifulrva.org. We'll link that.
It's already linked on our Facebook page.
Thank you. And, you know, you're just a gift from God.
Oh, man, I'm so humbled to hear you guys say stuff like that.
You know,
I'm just one guy.
Man.
I'm just trying to stay in my lane, you know. My goal is really to help develop leadership in communities. You know, I can only do so much. I got three kids. I'm a fiance. I'm about to be married. You know, I got family. So none of these issues are solved in a silo. You know, we have community that has to step to the fore. And when I say community, I'm talking about all rungs. I'm talking about irrespective of class, irrespective of race, irrespective of gender, sexual orientation. Like us coming together, we can solve many of the problems that we find in our community, but it's about us. It has to be an inclusive, intentional, and deliberate strategy.
And not just words, but actions.
Right, actions.
And
the
first action would be checking out what's available at the website.
Right. Well, yeah, that's,
and, you know,
yeah, check us out. You know, I'll say this. Nothing catalyzes people coming together like food.
Yeah.
There's nothing else.
Thankfully, we have air.
Right.
Water we can probably get. Food?
Right. But food is one of the most intimate things that we do every day. Right? And if we can get people to connect around food, you know, and evolve narratives around, you know, exclusion to inclusion, then, you know, we can really start building a new world, a new reality for each other and with each other, I should say.
And it starts in your own neighborhood.
Starts in your own neighborhood.
Okay. And with your own initiative to get involved.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, I can't tell you how much I respect you for me. I'm a professional whiner, you know.
Yes.
I've taken that to a fine art. I got a doctorate in whining, you know. But you see a problem and you take care of it. And that's just, you know, I can't tell you how much I admire you and what you do. And we want to thank Boomer for really bringing you to us.
And
with this wonderful article that we've also linked. And, you know, you are welcome here anytime to talk
about specific
problems that we can help you solve.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the vibes here. You know, Boomtown Radio, you guys are really after my heart. You know, the music that you're playing has been inspiration for me. You know, I'm only 38, but you know, this is, I'm a part of a continuum of struggle and work.
It's a river.
Yeah.
You know, all those influences. So float downstream, people come up and they make new music.
Exactly.
That's sort of, you know, just, that's what we do. But focusing on the area in which we broadcast, being local, is also our mission. So people like you, you know, we're just thrilled to have you here.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have to pay bills with commercials, you know, and that's what we do. But again, we'll get all contacts together, and you are welcome here at any time.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys, and thank you, Boomer Magazine, for making this an opportunity.
Duran Chavis, and again, Community Engagement Manager at Lewis Ginter Botanical Gardens. It's not just about beautiful flowers, it's about engaging the community. And thank you so much. And with that said, let me move our commercials up over here. Because we, you know, I do it every week. Somebody comes in and it's like, well, we'll talk. Well, we talk forever. So, because to me, it's all just so interesting and important. And so now, let's pay a bill or two.
For 150 years, Cowardens has been Richmond's hometown jeweler. Since
Eric Burden and the Animals. That's a Nina Simone song. That's who they were covering there. Boomtown Richmond with McKee and Robin and Duran Chavis. And we're talking about bringing food to people who need it. And so we were talking about a farmer from Brunswick, about 70, who on a Saturday would bring his stuff in, and got into a dialogue with him. And one of the questions he asked you was, why do we grow lawns?
Right, yeah.
That got you to thinking.
Yeah, Salim Ahmed of Salim Farms was the brother that connected with me when we did the pop-ups. And we were talking. One of the conversations he would have with me is about growing lawns and, you know, just the contradiction of people poisoning the planet with lawns, right? Spraying all types of chemicals
in order to have a thing, man. Yeah. Oh God.
But why don't, you know, we grow tomatoes and greens and things like that in our front yards? And, you know, that was another critical moment for me because it was something that I hadn't really thought about at that point. And it really, even to this day, really doesn't make sense. You know,
during World War II, right. When a lot of people that were working farms, whatever, went into making ammunition and food and munitions, they had an idea and they called it victory gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you used whatever dirt you had to grow vegetables or whatever you could.
Right.
And
right.
It was supposedly support of the war.
Right.
Okay,
right.
But that changed again when everybody came home.
You got it right.
So you're talking about
bringing back something that's very, you know, intrinsic to, you know, our country and just people, period. You know, civilizations are built around organized systems of food production. And as soon as someone disconnects from healthy food or where it comes from, you know, it changes their relationship to the food. If we can just get to the idea of growing a little bit of things, you know, gardening is therapeutic on so many levels. What we do with the Gainer Urban Gardener program is our goal is to train community citizens to have sustainable green spaces in their neighborhoods. And, you know, I've built dozens of gardens all over the region.
Seen pictures.
Yeah. But what I realized at a certain point, you know, that I can grow, you know, dozens more, but if I wasn't growing growers, then it would be all for naught.
So we need people to volunteer, to get involved, to do this work, because you yourself can only do so much.
Exactly.
So how do we get people involved?
So I run a 12-week program at Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden called the Ginter Urban Gardener Program. This training program teaches sustainable horticulture, agriculture. It teaches the social benefits of urban greening and urban gardening. We teach urban garden design, project management, volunteer coordination, but most importantly, we teach community trust building. So it's a heavy dose of personal development. We're talking about authenticity, transparency, being inclusive, how to facilitate groups and have dialogue.
Talking about taking control of your own life.
Right, 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 right. And what happens is that people leave this program and they become volunteer coordinators in communities that they might not even be from. But the goal of building community ownership of those green spaces. So say, for instance, corporate group A comes in, says they're going to spend $5,000 to put a garden in the neighborhood. Our coordinator's job will be to build the community's ownership of that space so that, you know, 6 months later, that space is not a weeded over hot mess, right? And that the community itself can control the production, you know, use the space for all the different ramifications that could be there, you know, yoga, you know, potluck dinners, you know,
instead of just
education.
Basically a rest stop for dogs.
Instead of it just being a rest stop for dogs. Exactly.
Robin
exactly.
had a question about a gardening
legal issue. I mean, some people post on Facebook, it's illegal for me to grow this in my front yard.
Define this.
Oh, food. Yeah. Food.
Oh, okay, food.
Food.
Yeah. hemp products.
No.
Completely different.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know what? People that want marijuana, okay? You know what? They take control of their lives and say, you know what? I can't get it at the supermarket. Yeah. I guess I'll grow it myself. Now, why not just say, hey, you know what? I can get lettuce, tomato, all this stuff, and I can grow it myself, too, right next to my pot plants if I want. Taking control of your life.
Hey, you know, full disclosure, I'm not advocating you do anything
that's not legal.
Right, but in all reality, you can pretty much, you know, we live in a temperate zone. You know, Virginia is very amenable to a wide variety of all the staples and things that you would like to eat. So it's perfectly legal for you to grow food in your yard. There are some ramifications around front, you know, the front of your house, you know.
Neighborhood associations.
Well, there are neighborhood associations. You may have signed something that said you can't do that.
Yeah, but, you know, typically the way that the city runs, you know, if you're keeping it maintained, you know, there's nobody's going to cry wolf. The
what
thing
you
is,
do in your backyard, man, is, you know, and it's nobody's business.
Yeah, and so that's why in the training we focus on garden design, right, because if you're in the middle of a residential area, you know, you want to balance, you know, productivity with it, with aesthetic appeal.
Right.
So it needs to look good so no one complains about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And she was talking about chickens, organized. But we're not going there at all.
Oh, that's a whole nother conversation.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is there a Gitter Park urban gardening program link?
Yeah.
We need to put that on our Facebook page.
You can go to beautifulrva.org. Now, that's another piece of this conversation. Beautiful right. RVA.
We'll get to that after we play a couple more songs and play some commercials. The Ginner Urban Gardening Program link is under beautifulrva.com. So we will link that. And we're talking, thanks to Boomer, that had a wonderful article on you, to Jerron Chavis, who's, you know, not cursing the darkness, but actually lighting candles. And I just really respect what you're doing. How about Rebels, Tom Petty?